At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Nerd Badge Podcast. This is our inaugural kickoff. I am your host, Michael Quinn, and today is a day that I have been waiting for a very long time. Let me introduce myself. Again, my name is Michael Quinn. I am a simple, humble man that has been born and raised here on Staten Island. And I can honestly say it is an honor and a privilege, if you're listening to this, to have you give me your time. Because today, well, if we look around the studio, it's kind of empty because I had a good friend who is a avid pro wrestling fan, just like myself, and he and I were supposed to talk about, well, everything. So what happened is now that, unfortunately, he came down with COVID and he can't come out to play. So for the first half of the show, it's going to be me and everything is basically dissected. I will go over everything the best I can and I will try and salvage this because, well, I got nothing. So the second half, I'm expecting my good friend, Carissa Pigmentelli, to come down. She's a beautiful actress, tons of credits, tons of film, theater, and we're going to talk about some things, which is the whole point of this podcast because I feel like everything as of late I've been watching has been overproduced, and I feel like it's good. Don't get me wrong. There's beautiful people out there doing beautiful things with podcasts that I don't know how to do, but I feel like it's missing something, like authenticity a little bit. And again, I don't knock anybody, but I feel like everything's produced. They have a producer, and this is just me. This is just me in a studio that I was gladly welcomed into, and the idea of this podcast came through just generalizing ideas and spitballing stuff and hoping it sticks. And then this podcast happened. I was invited to come down here and share my thoughts, which I really, 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 really don't understand why people want to hear me think. But hey, this is where we are. So, myself, I am an avid nerd. And I say this, and the whole premise of the Nerd Badge Podcast is that I wear it on my sleeve like a badge of honor. I have no problems whatsoever telling people about what I think about certain topics, and sometimes I talk a little bit too much, which I'm pretty sure everyone's laughing at hearing that I actually admit it. But the thing is, I like sharing stories. I like sharing ideas. I like sharing theories. I love myself to go to Comic-Con. I've been going for at least the past, I can't even remember how long it's been, with different groups of friends, my wife, my beautiful wife, Gabby, who's probably watching this right now. I want to say thank you for putting up with my hijinks. Again, when it comes down to expressing how I feel about certain topics, about movies, video games, all different types of things, sports, anything, some people think that being a nerd is a derogatory term that I align myself with that. I feel like everyone's a nerd for something. If you go and wear your favorite player's jersey and go to a game and scream at the top of your lungs with your face painted, you're a nerd for football or basketball or something. If you sit there in the middle of a rainstorm, hike out with your friends to go watch, I don't know, maybe like your favorite artist play at a bar or something like that, you're a nerd for music. And I appreciate when people actually not just admit it, but let it shine, because that's when I feel people are at their absolute best, when people are enjoying themselves without worrying if I look too cool enough or something like that. for me, growing up here on Staten Island, I have a lot of friends that I still keep in contact with from high school to junior high, and we were nerds. I think that's my friend Carissa right now. My lovely wife texting me right now. The thing was that, like, I was a nerd. I was 4'9" until I really hit 14 years old. And until that part, I was reading comics. I was reading X-Men. I was reading Avengers, Fantastic Four. I was reading The Avengers. I was reading The Justice League. I was reading so much stuff that it just took me away from everything because I was the shortest kid everywhere I went. And it's weird because every time I went somewhere, I would read comics, and people are like, oh, you're reading comics, look at the little nerd, you know? And I feel like those stories, those images, the characters, everything that came in between myself and these comic books was just, it just made me escape everything. And my family life growing up, again, I mean, I had a great family, don't get me wrong. I was adopted since birth. I never knew my real mom or dad growing up. I had two sisters who were, and my brother John, my Kelly Desiree, and they always nurtured me about, you know, being who I was and not shying away from making myself happy and rather than being cool or something like that. And I wasn't. I wasn't cool until I literally hit a growth spurt when I was 14 years old and I shot up to this wonderful body that I was blessed with and good health that I was absolutely blessed with. And but that passion for things never really went away. I never stopped reading comics. I never saw myself as a normal sized person now that people saw me differently. I never saw that. I always, hey, what's up? How you doing? They're like, whoa, Mike, hey, how you doing? You know, I had a car when I was very young and I was lucky enough to have that from my brother's hand down and I was able to drive and people thought I was cool because of that. But at the same time, I was still that inner part of me was a nerd. It just flourished out of me whenever we talked about stuff like Final Fantasy VII came out. I remember I was in high school, and that game was breathtaking, you know? Like, here I am. I played all the other Final Fantasy. I love Final Fantasy IV and VII are, like, tied for my top favorite ones. But every day coming back from school, that's when I realized, because I transferred schools, and I went to a different school, and I didn't really know anybody, and then everybody else kind of formulated groups because of this game. Like, oh, what part are you up to? It's like, oh, I just got up to the Hell House in the tournament, you know? And it was engaging, you know? And we got to the point where everyone was, like, up to the weapons and, like, how do you beat this weapon? I can't beat him because I always die before the time limit. And I met a lot of good friends through those initial groups that happened around lunch or gym or something like that. And I felt like I was able to express myself a little bit better through words because I wasn't really a talker until I really, like I said, I was 14, but I kind of found myself being able to talk to people because I was shy. I really was. And I just kept to myself. I read my comic books. I played my video games and that was my personality. And no one really kind of knew me until, again, these groups kind of formed. And again, kind of why I'm doing this because I feel like people should be able to take what they love, talk about it, and feel connected with each other like that. And I feel like it breeds happiness. Look at the past 4 years, how horrible everything's been. And I promise you on this podcast, I will absolutely try my best to keep the bad topics out of stuff. I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to talk about things that divide people. I'm keep politics out of this as much as I can. There'll be jokes. Don't get me wrong. There will be jokes. On both sides, I'm a big fan of humor and making fun of people. But at the same time, it's not going to be the ideal of this podcast. The Nerd Badge podcast, I promise you, will be plain and simple for you to wear your Nerd Badge on your arm with pride, which I really, really want. I want to bring in different people from different aspects. I want to talk about... also, another thing about me, I'm also a professional wrestler. I've been doing this now for, God, like almost 17 and a half years, which has been a blessing that I'm still around. I haven't done anything major. I've wrestled a couple of TV names that you may recognize, but I'm not here for that. I just want you to know that I have a passion for that, pro wrestling as well. With pro wrestling, it's always been something that I've always dove into. My first ever pro wrestling show, and I hope this connects anybody who's listening to this, their first experience with pro wrestling as much as it does mine. I love telling the story. I was, whenever wrestle, I was 6 years old, I believe, it was WrestleMania 4 in New Jersey. My babysitter had a son, and his name was Jamal, and we were best friends. We lived over in Willowbrook in, here in Staten Island. So somehow, some way, I can't remember the exact story, but she got the tickets from somebody and who couldn't make it, whatever, and they were like, oh, do you... And she asked my mom, is it okay if I take Michael? Now, before we get into that, my mother hated pro wrestling. Like, she absolutely despised it. Now, again, I was adopted. This is my foster mother, Fran Quinn. God bless her. I love her to death. She raised me as I was her blood. And I'll never forget everything she's done to me, for me, everything. The lessons that she taught me. But the one thing she couldn't stand was pro wrestling. Because I always feared, because I was small, I was always sick. She felt that, like, maybe I would emulate this stuff and get myself hurt. She was traumatized by the idea of me getting hurt. I was the baby of the family. Everyone always looked at me like, oh, we got to protect Mike, you know? So with this, my dad, they were divorced before I even came into the picture, but Thomas Quinn, God bless him, he was my dad. And I love them to death for that. They actually gave me their name. My real name was actually Leo Wilson. And they changed it legally to Michael Quinn. They took me in as their own, which I'll never, ever, could ever pay them back for. What happened is that my dad was a closet wrestling fan. And he had tapes from Madison Square Garden all hidden, like, around his house. He lived with his brother, my late Uncle Huey, and he loved pro wrestling, but he never shared it with anybody. And he actually told me, he's like, you know, I slept over his house one time. Yeah, he lived on Van Duser. And we lived in Travis for most of our lives, except for when we lived in Willowbrook. We lived in Travis when I was 9 years old. We moved there. My dad, I actually caught him watching a wrestling match. I was like, oh, what's this? I must have been 5, I think. And he goes, this is pro wrestling. He's like, you want to watch? And I was like, okay. He's like, don't tell anybody that I watch this. Not your brother, not your mom. I don't want to hear about it. I was like, all right, cool. No problem. And we sat there. And we watched wrestling teams. He's like, I got this and I got that. I used to watch guys like Killer Kowalski, Baron Von Rasch, all these other great, like, cartoon, bald-headed, just, guys, you know? Like, and it was art to me. It was beautiful. And I watched it, and these guys would just fight. And the stories that happened, Ric Flair, Harley Race, Dusty Rhodes, all these beautiful, Nick Bodwinkle, all these great guys that were just larger than life. They came out, crowds erupted, women were throwing panties, guys were throwing babies. It was, you couldn't stop it. I was like, I'm fascinated by this. And then it happened. We find ourselves, my mom getting asked if I can go to WrestleMania 4. And she goes, what's this WrestleMania? And I kind of looked at her and went, well, I kind of watch wrestling. And she goes, where? My father's face pops up in my head, and I go, uh-oh, I can't finish this sentence. So I tell her, me and Jamal watch it. His mom lets him watch it, so I just watch it sometimes, and I think it'll be cool. Me and Jamal will have a great time bonding going to this. And she goes, okay, as long as his mom's going there, score, go to WrestleMania 4. Now, WrestleMania 4, Macho Man wins the title, him versus DiBiase at the end. DiBiase gets a first round bye. Beautiful storytelling, and I can do an impression. And I'm good at certain impressions, but this was my first ever one that I ever realized, because I heard Macho Man speak, and it was afterwards, basically. So one day I just come home, and again, WrestleMania 4 was mind-blowing for me. I was addicted to pro wrestling. My mom is okay with me watching it. I would say I'd watch it at Jamal's. I had an alibi, and this is where my nerdiness comes out. Now, I came home. We were watching wrestling. I think it was Saturday Night Main Event, and I just remember hearing Macho Man speak for, like, when the first time I heard him speak was whatever it was, and I didn't realize I can do it, but I sat there, and I looked at my mom. My mom goes, how was Jamal? I was like, yeah, it was the greatest time of all time. And she goes, what was that? And she looks at me with, like, bewilderment, but yet confused, like rage, like, you're not doing wrestling. I was like, no. That was a movie that I saw as a gangster. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get you, Tommy. Yeah, wait till I get my hands around your neck and be sleeping with the fishes. Yeah, and she didn't know anything. So she was like, all right, cool, whatever. One day, Saturday morning superstars. Greatest form of entertainment on a Saturday morning besides cartoons and Ninja Turtles, which we'll always go over here. So the Rockers come out, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. I'm bouncing up and down on my couch. My mother comes in, and in my hallway, there was like the TV, and then there was a doorway, and across from the doorway was the bathroom. And my mother comes in, she walks around, and she makes eye contact with me as I'm jumping up and down on the couch. I'm like, get out. Ooh. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm watching some wrestling on Saturday morning. And she goes, oh, my other guest. Mid-story pause. Ah, damn it. My other friend, I had another friend, another actress, comedian that was going to come down. But apparently she decided to go to Philly last week and she's still there. So, yeah, I just found that out. So anyway, where was I? Yeah, so my mother got worried. Now, anybody who knows wrestling, I feel like back in the Attitude Era, the Golden Era was just beautiful, right? You can't deny the superstars that came out of that. Shawn Michaels turning on Marty Jannetty, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Hogan, Jake the Snake, all these guys, right? Well, Mankind and Undertaker, King of the Ring. Yeah, Hell in a Cell. Now, this is where things took a dark turn for me watching wrestling. I'm sitting there watching pro wrestling, and it's Mankind versus Undertaker. Mankind crawls up the cage, and my mother comes in. She goes, oh, and it's me, my friend Eric, my friend James, and I can't remember who it was because it was one of their friends, whatever. So we're hanging out watching this, and we're going, oh, my God, he's jumping on top of the cage. This is insane. And we're like, he's going to jump off, and then Undertaker starts crawling up the cage. We're like, wait. So now everyone knows what happens at this point, right? Mankind. Boo! My mother sees this and flips her mind into complete yelling chaos. She's like, watch it, like, okay, I can understand this. Okay, they don't like each other. That bad man in the mask. We're like, yeah, bad man in the mask, man. Mom, yeah, sure. Batman in a mask. Gotcha. And then Undertaker takes him and tries to kill him. Boop. My mother just went, turn that off right now. You better not know this mouse again. And all my friends, like, it was like watching a bunch of cats and like throwing like a flash grenade and just watching them scurry. We all just like, what just happened? Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling in my house for a very long time. So, yeah. So we used to go over my other friend's house, and we always had fun watching it there, and that's where it became. And his mom was totally cool. My friend Eric Hoffmeister, I love him to death. We used to watch wrestling all the time. We spent New Year's together. One of my best friends. And he moved to Delaware a couple years ago. He's doing great. Good guy. So what else? So, yeah. That was my thing about pro wrestling. And then eventually, true story on how I became a pro wrestler. Big Vito, I'm at Legends Bar on Victory Boulevard here in Staten Island before it closed, and I was playing pool, and then in comes Big Vito, WCW superstar, former tag champ, and he's going to kill me because I forget all the titles that he has, and we go over this all the time. So he's sitting there playing pool, and actually I'm playing pool, I have the table, and he plays, and he beats me, and I go, okay, I wait my turn, he runs the table, I play, I beat him. Okay, no one else was playing, so we play again, and we started talking, and I was like, bro, listen, how did a guy from Staten Island end up on television? Like, I don't get this. And this is after my time in the military. We'll save that for another time. I met him in 2006. It was the summer, because it was actually the first night out after my father passed away. In July, he passed away, July 27th, and I started wrestling. I met Vito in September, end of September, and he pointed me to his trainer. He goes, listen, if you're ever serious about this, what you're going to do is you're going to go find a man called Johnny Rods. And I go, oh, I know Johnny Rods. My dad has tapes about him. He used to wrestle as Java Rook. WWE Hall of Famer in 1996. And he goes, yeah, that's him. Go find him out, talk to him, and he will sit there, see what happens. I was like, all right, cool. So I knew somebody at that bar who goes, oh, you were talking to Vito? Yeah, Johnny trains me now too. And I go, oh, awesome. My friend Pete. I'm like, awesome. Yeah, cool. Let's go down there. So he has a show on a Saturday. I go down and I sit in the crowd and I'm just, wow, this is awesome, you know? So now I'm sitting here watching all this stuff and the show's over. I help, you know, I was like, hey, do you guys need a hammer or anything? You know, like, what can I do to help? And he goes, well, yeah, just, and you know, help us break down the chairs and everything. And at the end, Johnny comes up to me. He goes, oh, Pa, it's nice to meet you. You're a friend of Pete, you know? It's like, that's how Johnny talks. Anybody who's watching this who knows Johnny is like, oh, Pa, you know, all I'm missing is like an orange with a knife. He's going to kill me. Like, oh, Pa, you know, you look like a good guy. You know, you look like you could do this, you know? It's like, yeah, I would love to. It's like, I just don't know how. He goes, oh, it's like, you know, we have a school here. We got a club. You know, this is the family here. I was like, word? Really? And I was like, I would love a chance. I don't know how I would be able to have an audition or something. I don't know how this works. He goes, Pa, just come down another day. We talk and we'll do business. You talk. We sit in his office. Everyone knows Johnny. He wanted to talk for about 5 or 10 minutes. 3 hours later. He's going to kill me for that one. I love Johnny's stories. Don't get me wrong. I love Johnny's stories. Johnny, I love you. Anytime you pass on knowledge to me, I absorb it like the sponge that I am, and I fully just nurtures me. Don't hit me. Don't stab me with a knife. But yeah, so we came to business, and I became one of his students, and we did shows, and I learned so much from Johnny, like so many times, about the simplest things that everyone sits there and goes, oh, Johnny, you know, Johnny has a lot to say about stuff, you know, and I go, I've seen it work. If you're looking at this right now, when I tell you this, I will swear on a Bible. I will swear on a child that I'll eventually have one day, on his soul, that vinegar wrap thing is witchcraft, okay? If you know, you know, okay? Because it worked. I hurt my leg doing something one time, and I was in a very important place in my life, and being hurt wasn't an option. When I tell you I did that, the whole wrap, the vinegar, white vinegar, Vaseline, towel, wrap, I smelt like a salad for a week. But I was walking around, and that was important. And I will always thank Johnny for that more than one piece of advice that he's ever given me that actually worked out. But that was, wow. So yeah, so that's how I became a professional wrestler. I became Steve in person. I said the line. But yeah, it's been a blessing to do that for the past 17 years. So I've met a lot of great people, a lot of amazing wrestlers, some people that I've watched on television that I was able to share a ring with, a locker room with, some people that are on television, some people right now that are on television that I love to death, and you know exactly who I'm talking to because he made so many improvements in himself, and I'm so happy that he's successful right now, and this is just for you. I love you to death, and I want you to know that you are an amazing person. And you 100% deserve everything that's happening to you. And I want you to know that, like, I'm not ever going to ask you for anything. But I want you to know that your friendship and your ability to be a good person with who you are is just an amazing birth-given talent. And I just want you to know that, like, I love you to death. And I talk to you all the time. I send you a straight text message once in a blue. And, bro, it's happy to watch you be where you are right now. So, yeah. So, moving on to the next topic. Let's talk a little bit about some professional wrestling. We have a little thing coming up called the Royal Rumble. And I'm a big fan of the Royal Rumble. To be truthfully honest, everyone says certain things about different pay-per-views. Like, I grew up in the age of the Great Four. Great Five, technically, but you had the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and then Survivor Series. I was a big fan of the King of the Ring. Do I think it was handled correctly? No. I think the King of the Ring should never have gone away. I loved it to death. It was my favorite thing in the world because it took me back to WrestleMania 4, a great old tournament. It honestly was always the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, well, Royal Rumble, and then Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, King of the Ring, Survivor Series, and then SummerSlam. Because each one is like its own precious little thing. And again, this is why we're here. For those of you who are just listening, I don't know if this is how we're going to play this this first episode, but Nerd Badge, I'm pointing to the thing with my hand in an extravagant, oh my God, I can't speak right now. Exaggerated manner. The Royal Rumble was always about surprise, and it was always like, who's next? That 3, 2, 1, and everyone kind of just stands up. You wait till someone's music hits, and here comes the X, here comes the you know, like, and I was like, that's a Demolition. Oh, the other one's a Demolition's in the ring. He's got backup. You know, like, it was beautiful. Even to this day, like, I always appreciated, because those guys coming back now and doing, like, a Royal Rumble entrance has been, I don't know, it's a staple now, you know? Like, my favorite ones are always going to be, like, I don't know, like, The Godfather could come out every single time. Every Royal Rumble, I'll never get tired of it. Like, it's beautiful, you know? Kevin Nash came out that one time, I think it was 2012. That was beautiful. Edge coming back out, which was, I don't care who you are, at what point in your life that you were a wrestling fan before, after he retired, when he came back, that would, this is the one negative thing I'll always say about pro wrestling is, I always hated, beyond words, dirt sheets. Dirt sheets, I mean, listen, imagine, and I say this to not just the fans, well, I say this to the fans. Everyone wants to be a pro wrestler as a fan. Every pro wrestler I know is a fan. On some level, you are always going to be a fan. Imagine this for a second. Like, imagine you have your first match, right? And here you are, you're all pumped up and everything like that, and some guy just takes a microphone, goes into the middle of the ring, and tells everybody about what's going to happen in your match. That would piss you off, right? Oh, I've been working so hard on this, and you just ruined it for me. And then you have the people in the stands going, yeah, bro, watch. Here's the part where he sits here and turns on his friend, bro, watch. It's going to happen. Fans are going to be fans. I have no problem. People always say, oh, wrestling fans these days are toxic. No, absolutely not. You know who's really toxic? The guy who tried stabbing Dusty Rhodes, and I'm sorry, not Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, when he was in Charlotte that one time, back in the 70s, and he had to fight him off with a lead pipe. Yeah, that is a toxic fan, okay? Someone sitting there saying, oh, you suck. That's not toxic. You just have thin skin. If someone says you suck, you reply in a manner to shut them up. That's your job. You make them feel part of the show. Until someone comes up to you with a baseball bat outside in the parking lot looking for you, guess what? You're just doing your job. That's what it is. If people aren't sitting there waiting for you at the end of the show with a door, at the door with a piece of paper, yeah, guess what? That's what it's supposed to be. But when someone comes out there and interrupts that process, and this is what I've always seen it, and it's just, it literally lights a fire in my heart. I'll say that because I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this thing because it's going to be on YouTube, so this is my first one. Bear with me. 100%, just checking my message to see if my friend's coming. So 100%, when you interrupt that process between the fans and the wrestlers, I think you're a scumbag. I got no problems with people. People going to do business. But if you're getting money off these dirt sheets, I legitimately don't know how this works. I don't. And I'm the first one to say it. I'm not. You make money off of it, that's you. But for people to pretend that they're journalists and they call themselves journalists when they're just, hey, I heard this on the internet, and they just basically like repeat it like, oh, CM Punk is coming back to WWE. That's not really a spoiler. Let me phrase that. Oh, this person's disappearing for a while because they're going to take time off. Oh, dude, and I hate that like arrogance that people have behind them where they're just like, well, bro, I don't know if you heard this or not, but yeah, Edge is going to take some time off. He's going to disappear from the company, so he's going to lose his next match, and it's going to be horrible. They're going to put him out on a stretcher. It's going to be great. I just be sitting there like, why would you tell me that? It's like, nah, bro, I just wanted to let you know. It's like, let me know what? Let me know what? You just completely just murdered everything that they were trying to do for me. And now I'm, okay, I know what's going to happen now. Thanks. Congratulations. wrestlers and such owning podcasts. I'm 100% behind that because now people are talking about things that are relevant to them and they have the experience to talk about that. If someone wanted to go on the internet and talk about this person's not doing this right, 100%, that's fine. But when you interrupt that process, you can see it clear as day. Like when CM Punk came back to WWE, everybody knew it was going to happen. Not sure when, but when he popped up Survivor Series, oh my God, CM Punk. It's a surprise factor that we had in the 90s in the Attitude Era. There were dirt sheets. Don't get me wrong. I'm not freaking blind to the fact. But you're ruining my nerd tears, bro. Like, let me have my moments, you know? Like, I feel like protecting that aspect of wrestling from everybody. I mean, the curtain's up. Everyone knows it. I'm not celebrating it, but at the same time, it has to be discussed. Movies like The Wrestler, you know? Like, bro, someone's going to kill me for this. I still haven't seen Iron Claw. I'm going to see it this weekend when I'm in Miami because I'm going to Miami. I'm going on the Chris Jericho cruise because me and my friends go every year. It started when my friend got married, and then we turned it into a thing where we all go every year. So, yeah, back to what I was saying. I hate when people just ruin things for people. And on this podcast, if I'm lucky enough to have this continue, I promise you, I will not talk about spoilers. I will not talk about things that we'll imagine. We're going to have a whole segment about this. It's called Hear Me Out, and it's going to be a great segment. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do basically make-believe things with our minds, and we're going to talk about things. Like, it's the Hear Me Out section of the show is going to be, imagine like a wonderful comic that I used to read that they turned into a really good cartoon show on Disney Plus called What If. It was one of my favorite comics because they did wonderful things and turned them all around, and it made you go, you know the backstory of the story. Let's see what happens when we take this story and turn it on its head. You know, like what happens if this didn't happen? I have my whole mind filled with things like that, especially when it comes to the Marvel and DC universe. I'm just going to text my friend Carissa. I'm getting 1,005 things I don't want popping up on my phone about, oh, you're full of data. And go screw yourself, phone. Don't mind me. I'm just texting. NTA. So, yeah. When it comes to, like, the Marvel Universe, now, this is something we're going to talk about a lot of times. We're going to have other people on, and we're going to talk about their views on this stuff. Now, obviously, the big two. I mean, there's no more. I honestly don't know if Dark Horse is around anymore. You know, like, I don't know if all these other comic companies are still around. There are a lot of great independent comics out there, and they're beautiful. I'm going to try and get some people on and talk about how the process of a comic book is made. I know somebody about this. I'm going to try and drag him out of his house to get over here. The big two, Marvel and DC. The thing about that is, You have the two biggest elements of fandom right there, you know? And I always said the big three of nerd life is always going to be comics, movies, and television. Those are the three main forms of how everybody gets their information about things that they like. I'm a big anime fan. I'm huge into anime. And that's mangas, I'll put that in the comics. I know some people, there's a discussion about that. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just saying I like both. I read and partake. With television, I was in the age of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, where my good friend Danny, we used to trade tapes. I did 1 year at McKee High School here on Staten Island, and that's when I first really got introduced to it, the whole entire tape training aspect of it, because I had other people who got me tapes. I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool. Like, they would just bring over tapes. It was my brother's friends or whatever, and we just watched this stuff, you know? But then eventually, also, my brother John is like 10 years older than me. My sister Kelly is 5 years older than me, and my other sister Desiree is about like 10 or 11 years older than me. I can't remember. I love you all anyway, but forget your ages. I was really like the only one who partaked of this stuff in my family. My brother had friends and they were just like, hey, you want to watch this? I was like, oh, cool. I would watch like episode 14, episode 23, episode 3. And it was all out of order. I was like, I have no clue what I'm watching, but this is fantastic. And then finally, when I got to McKee, my friend Danny showed me, he was like, listen, this is what it is. I'll never forget. We were in a computer lab one day and he was watching the Broly movie. And I'm like, what is this? Why are they gold? And he was like, bro, I got you. So Danny's like one of those friends that I go on the Chris Jericho cruise with every year. Danny and Jen, I love you guys. What else? So, yeah. So now, crap, I lost track of where I was. I got too excited. But, yeah, so the three main forms of nerddom have always been that to me. Where, well, actually video games. I'm sorry, I left that out. Four, video games. With those things, I've always had a passion for reaching out and finding new ways of getting that. And back then, we had tapes. We didn't have the internet, kids, all right? It was like the Stone Age out there, okay? We were fighting over episode 13, all right, of Dragon Ball Z, all right? When the Busaka came out, it was pandemonium, all right? Everybody was into it now. Goku exploded. Everyone knew who he was, you know? Dragon Ball Z used to come on UPN9 back in the day, and that was how you got your Dragon Ball for fans like me. But then the tapes started coming out. I'm like, this is awesome. I was able to watch it for the first time really in order, like the whole Saiyan saga, Cell saga, Android saga, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah. So, that was one of the things that was, I feel like it made it, who really wanted it, if that makes sense? Who really wanted to find out what's going to happen next time on Dragon Ball Z, you know? Like, you had to go out and find this stuff. I dabbled in Magic the Gathering, too. Like, that was a thing that I kind of like, I guess I tried out for a couple times. I loved Dungeons & Dragons when I was a kid. I haven't played since I was literally like 15, 16 or something like that. Joined the military at 17. That's another story for another time. So, yeah. Again, my nerd badge is on my arm, hard as hell. And these are the things that I've always wanted to address when I have guests on. And I'm going to, there are people out there that aren't my age. I'm 42 now. And there's people out there that are going to be younger than me that didn't have this exposure to things. And the people who did, I would love to have them on. If this is something like my, on this YouTube page, message me. I don't even know how to even get messages on YouTube. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to, my Facebook is open. My Twitter's open. Steven Person IP on Twitter. There's so many things that I'm going to talk about here. And I just want people to understand that I want to bring people here who understand that life, you know, like not somebody who sits there and goes, I like Hello Kitty. You know, like, I actually had somebody say that to me one time. I was at a bar, and it was after Comic-Con, and we didn't realize at the time, but it was a strip bar. Yeah, burlesque, if you will, as they labeled it. So my friends goes, hey, you want to go check out this bar over here? We're like, oh, cool, no problem. And the guy goes, hey, it's going to be free until this time. And we're like, free until this time? Like, I'm already inside. You can't charge me. I don't know what they're going to do. All of a sudden, out come the girls. Chun-Li is there. Rogue is there. Miss Marvel's there. Wonder Woman's there. And way too hot. Way too hot to be in this place. Because there's all a bunch of nerds and we're all just sitting here hanging out. This is like about 5 years ago. And I'm like, I think we just stumbled into a strip club. My friends go, no. And literally the guy comes, all right, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be $40 a head unless you leave right now. And all the girls start getting up on stages and they start, and not in the stages, but like little box things, like box setups and stuff like that. And then I'm like, oh my God, we're in a strip club. I was like, I don't mind. If Chun-Li cannot do a full split, I am leaving. This is not accurate. Not accurate to me. So, give me about 20 minutes. Oh. Carissa, 15 to 20. Oh, you're killing me. I'm so happy to be here, have you here. I don't think you're going to make it now. Sorry, I'm texting. Texting music. I'm sending out a text. A text. I'm sending out a text. Sending out a text. So, can we get a wide shot here? Oh, man. I think I'm doing pretty good. I hope I'm not. I hope I am. I hope I'm not bombing this right now. I have no guess. But that's all right. It's cool. I'll just keep telling stories. So, what's a good story that I can tell that's really funny? I can't tell certain things because my wife watches this, and she would kill me because I feel like I'm making a jerk out of myself when I say certain things. What else can I talk about? Oh, here we go. Ah, perfect subject. Back to Marvel. I'm sorry. So, Marvel versus DC. Marvel, I'm going to bring this up to other people because I want their opinions on this. I always enjoyed Marvel better, not just as the comics, not just the movies, but as an essence, because Marvel was always grounded in the real world, minus, like, you know, Atlantis. But that's the thing that always made me enjoy it more. Metropolis, I always felt like was Manhattan. What's it called? Gotham City, I always felt was either Detroit or another, like, really, like, ran down city, like New Jersey. New Jersey sucks. So, I always felt like it mirrored things more than was things. And I couldn't understand, like, there was no towns inside of Metropolis. There was no boroughs inside of Chicago, inside of Gotham City, you know? So, with New York, it was like, hey, I mean, hey, Marvel, in case you're watching this, we never really had a hero from Staten Island. Just going to point that out. Captain America's from Brooklyn. Spider-Man's from Queens. Miles Morales is from Manhattan. And technically the Bronx, Harlem, wherever you want it, wherever subject you get it from. Luke Cage. There's so many heroes. Daredevil. So just so many people out there that were always iconic because I felt like they always represented a neighborhood, you know, like not even just a neighborhood. Not like Spider-Man was sitting there going out there like, Queens, you know, like, but I always felt like it was more grounded because I live here in New York City and I've been to Florida and I've been to, like, you know, New Jersey where other, like, there were not as many comic book characters, even still, like, you know, Miss Marvel, you know, Kamala Khan, like, I felt like, oh my gosh, she's from New Jersey. Oh, that's cool, you know? But, like, Star City, like, really, DC, like, what, like, freaking Minnesota was going to charge you royalties, which is something that I like to point out, too. Like, I'm a big fan of the movies and everything like that. I love the MCU. I love the DCU for what it was, the DCU. But why was everything in Gotham and Metropolis, but yet Shazam was in Philadelphia? I never got that. I was like, why are they in Philly? Okay, cool. All right. You know? So it was just always funny to me that, like, they had their own villains. Like, the villains, will, if you divide them into two different groups and you looked at them, the DC villains were, I always feel like it was grounded in Earth. I get it. And it was just some stupid plan they were always trying to make. Like, let's rob a bank. You know? Like, granted, Marvel had the same issues back in, like, the day, too. But I feel like DC was always robbing banks and not doing really nefarious things. They were, like, street-level villains. Don't get me wrong. I understand Darkseid. Darkseid is, like, you know, the old, is obviously, I know the comparisons, the takeaway from Marvel made from Darkseid. I obviously get that. But at the same time, it was, like, there wasn't really that many world. It was always villain to hero aspect. Like, there was always, like, the counterpart, you know? Like, Lex Luthor was always, like, he was a normal man but had, like, really bad intentions. Which, true story, I don't know if anybody ever noticed this, but the real story on why Lex Luthor actually hates Superman, and this is going back to, like, back in the day. Lex Luthor had a full head of hair, and he was a Superman fanboy, right? Something happened. I don't remember the exact thing. I will always admit when I'm wrong on this thing about Marvel stuff and nerd stuff. I don't remember exact thing that happened, but basically there was an incident where Lex Luthor loses his hair and becomes bald. I think it was like an explosion with chemicals maybe or something. And then he lost his hair and blamed Superman. And that's why he's a jerk off to Superman. Sinestro, Green Lantern. Green Lantern literally just can't have the power over anything that is the color of yellow. Bruh. Really? Okay. Man, it was just, I felt like Spider-Man, like his story, his weakness wasn't that he had, like, you know, if he was near Raid or something like that, you know, like, oh, my powers, you know, like his problem was he lived in Queens. He was broke. He had a girl that he always obsessed over, but could never really have. But that obviously happens, him and Mary Jane get together. But it was always, like, I feel like his supervillains were always, even Spider-Man, his gallery of villains has always been just amazing. Like, you have the Green Goblin, billionaire who loses his freaking mind by injecting himself with the Goblin serum, trying to make a super soldier serum, and it just makes him go bat-ass crazy, you know? Like, and he winds up killing the love interest of his life, you know? Like, I feel like every single supervillain in the Marvel Universe at one point or another had a crucial backstory to their hero where they just screwed up their life, you know? Like, and it was always ever going. With DC, it was, I feel like it was forgettable. I don't remember that many things other than, like, you know, the Infinite Crisis things. And I feel, you know, like, oh, what was it? What was it with the World Trees where it was so crazy. It was World 2, I think it was, where the almost celestial beings of their universe, I forgot what they call them, they were brothers, and what happened was they put a seed in each planet, and it grew up to be like wisdom. It was so convoluted. It couldn't be like, these guys are going to try and eat the Earth just like Galactus. It's our version of Galactus. Shh. Listen, these guys, you know, like, it just couldn't be something easy, you know, but like, we're gonna, like, Brainiac came out and sat there and like, all right, guys, I'm gonna create these teams and you're all gonna listen to me now because the whole galaxy is gonna be destroyed if we don't stop these guys from eating seeds that are in Earth and this other planet. And all right, cool, we'll just wear Brainiac stuff and just, you know, hey, whatever, you know. And then Brainiac, the smartest, most evilest thing in the world, gets taken out by Amanda Law. It was just a garbage story. I'm sorry, I read it, and I was just like, this makes no sense. It's very convoluted. It's just so much chaos happening, so much overwriting. Marvel, Civil War, the title right there gave it away. It was perfect. I got 15 minutes left, so we're going to try and get this one in. This will be my last topic. Sorry again. So basically what happened was that Civil War. I don't know if you guys ever read Civil War, but it was the story of the Superhero Registration Act. It was a beautiful, I mean, this story, you just couldn't get any better. The movie, obviously, I mean, you couldn't do what their hands were tied here, for Christ's sakes. I still enjoyed it. Still enjoyed Civil War. But anyway, so now Civil War, the comic, starts off with I forgot the name of the stupid team that blows up Stanford. But anyway, the superhero team, they have their own reality show. Then they blow up. They get into a fight with a supervillain called Nitro. And Nitro has the ability to make gas, like exploding gas. And it's really actually a crazy power when you look at it. And he was always like a D-list supervillain, if you will. So what happens is that when he gets into a fight with the New Warriors, there you go. I think it was the New Warriors. I forget, it was so long ago. But anyway, he blows up Stanford, Connecticut, and like everybody except for Speedball dies. And on the New Warriors team. And this is the difference between the MCU and the comics, because it was beautiful. Everybody shows up to Stanford, Connecticut, like, yo, we gotta find out what happened, what went wrong. This is gonna happen. We're gonna hunt this guy down, Nitro. Nitro is still on the loose, and it was Wolverine. Wolverine is hunting down Nitro, and he's trying to find out what exactly happened, and that story had its own arc inside of Civil War, the comics. And then you had the classic story of, should we make everyone superhero registrate? Not really, Cap, because, you know, civil liberties and everything like that, and people just want to protect their families by wearing a mask. Well, you know, how about this? We can protect their families by keeping them safe underneath the umbrella of the government. And Steve and Iron Man were just bashing heads over this, and it was a great story because it was, it was such at a level 1 to level 10 fight. Because what happens is, like, they all get into a fight. Cap shuts down Captain America, Iron Man's armor with, like, a device. And then, like, they're going back and forth. And they're, like, half-heartedly hitting each other, like, knock it off, Steve. Bang. Like, knock it off, Tony. I'm going to beat you. And guys are just throwing, like, half-hearted punches and everything like that. And then we are just level 1. Guys are just, And then out of the sky comes Thor, who's been missing forever, right? And I was like, Thor, what are you doing here? And there's Goliath, who, I don't know if you watch the MCU version of Goliath. It's kind of the same exact thing as Giant Man. And he takes what we think at the time is Mjolnir, and he launches it right through his chest. No words. And everyone's just like, oh, okay, this is different. Everyone splits and goes, they kill Goliath. Like, that was the focal point of, now this is a war. So we go back to Wolverine. I'm surprised that they haven't brought him out yet. What's it called? Damage Control, or whatever they're called in Marvel now. And they're basically, like, stirring everything up. They gave Nitro, the supervillain who blew up Stamford, Connecticut, a thing of kick, I think it was. It's like a mutant drug that kicks up your abilities, like, to 10. You know, if you're, like, a low-level supervillain, it just blows everything up. So, he basically goes, yo, yeah, we're trying to get into the business of rebuilding stuff, because when these guys fight, we make more money. And that was the actual story behind Civil War, which was beautiful. It wasn't Baron Zemo, who I loved in the MCU, who was a great, great actor who played him. And so now we're sitting here, and Civil War, Tony basically and Steve are just beating the crap out of each other. They're really going at it. Both sides going at each other. And then it ends with Steve Rogers getting assassinated. And guess what? Turned into a Skrull. Isn't that crazy? He turned into a Skrull at that point. And that is crazy. Because now we have the Civil War. And there's also Echo and Elektra, I think it was. Yeah, Echo stabs Elektra with her psi. And then she turns into a Skrull. And everyone's like, wait, what? And it's... Everyone's just like, hold up, we were just fighting each other, and now you tell me everyone's a Skrull, and it leads into the real Secret Invasion. The show was, the ending was bleh. I mean, we'll talk about we have about 10 minutes left, but we'll talk about the MCU TV shows another time. That's its own other topic. But right now, that's the thing about Marvel. Marvel had story into story into story into story into story, and it just kept going around. It was always something new coming. Absolutely, Marvel screwed some stuff up. The X-Men fighting dinosaurs. I'm not talking about the Savage Land. Literal dinosaurs was, you know, like, I can go on about that stuff forever. But again, we have DC. Well, I'll get this in for the last couple of minutes. DC was always cartoony. It was exactly, it was for kids. And that's what I always kind of felt like. Spider-Man and, like, when he quit being Spider-Man, like, you didn't think about these things as a kid. Like, I'm going to quit my job, you know? Like, that's what I felt like it was. Like, this is adult problems? Like, this is, like, he didn't want to be Spider-Man anymore, you know? Like, and he loses the love of his life. And Superman, all right, Superman saves the day. That's it. No consequences. And it wasn't until, like, Dark, what's it called? Doomsday, where Doomsday killed Superman, that I felt continuity actually came to DC. It really wasn't anything. It was every single time it was a new story. Everything just rewrit itself. Everything just restarted. It starts off with like a bank robbery, and then Superman comes in, lifts the car. Okay, whatever, not. And then something bad happens, and they got to solve that problem, and that's the main story arc. That's what I always felt happen in, what's it called? You had Onslaught in Marvel. I hate spoiling it for people, but they just brought back Onslaught, and if you're not reading where Onslaught just came back, you are screwing yourself right now, because Onslaught's back. It's the combined mental capacity, or not capacity, but the combined mental cognitive, mental alertness of Magneto and Professor X, and they form together and create Onslaught. But Onslaught's in somebody else now, and it is gold. Texting on my phone. Texting on my phone. Texting on my phone. Texting on my phone. Wish you come here, Carissa, because I want to interview you. And I'll do it next time, because I'm not going to be here for 2 weeks. So You don't know that because next time I post up on YouTube is next time I post up on YouTube. So whatever. but yeah. So in DC, like everyone had like some stupid weakness. Superman, Kryptonite. Wonder Woman, I think it was hypnosis. Wonder Woman had like a really stupid thing too. But there was something else. Oh, Wonder Woman, by the way. I don't know if you ever know this, but Wonder Woman's actual origin. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around all over the place. I got nerd Tourette's today. Wonder Woman started off, you know what she started off as? You know what? Eh, somebody can Google it. I don't want to do questions yet. So anyway, she was their secretary. That was it. She's Wonder Woman, the secretary. That's what she was. She wasn't a superhero. She was, I don't think the Amazon thing came into play until later on, but yeah. Huh. Crazy. She was their secretary. That's how she got the job in the Justice League. She was the secretary. She answered the phone for the Justice League. So anyway, yeah, Flash, I mean, even him, like, I think, honestly, out of everybody, Flash has the greatest set of villains more than anybody because he has reverse Flash, as silly as it is. And DC always felt brought in, like, these mechanical devices that didn't make sense, and it was just a convoluted story behind this one object. Granted, we have the Cosmic Cube in Marvel. I say we, like, I'm a part of it or something. But the Infinity Gauntlet, like, those are iconic things that they built. There's, like, so many devices, the boom tombs, the mother boxes that are in DC, and I feel like it's always been, like, mother box? What exactly does that do? The Infinity Gauntlet has all the Infinity Gems. I do not call them stones as much as I try. when it comes to stuff like that, I always felt like brand recognition was always better in Marvel, and I'm going to have people here. We're going to discuss it peacefully. No one's going to be bashing each other or anything like that. I have some stupid friends I will call stupid to their face. Because they're stupid heads. And, yeah. So, that's all. Texting on my phone. Now, I'll save this for next time, but we'll get a little bit of headway into it. I got 7 minutes. I'll cut it short. I don't care. It's my show. This is my show. This is my studio. I got this. It's all mine. Can we get a shot and just look at all this space that I have right here? And there's nobody here because I was going to do one guest. I was going to talk about, like, you know, little couple things, you know, Royal Rumble. I got my pick. Honestly, I think it's going to be Cody. Man, I got no one to discuss it with because there's so many things that are happening in WWE right now that it's like, who's going to win? You know, Will Ospreay's in AEW, which is absolutely fantastic. There's so many guys in AEW that are absolutely amazing, and so many guys are in WWE and women that are absolutely amazing in their craft, in their field. And it's just so beautiful to watch because now, since things changed, I feel like there's an emphasis on stories. And again, this is my biggest nerd. The biggest part of my nerd's badge is the fact that I love stories, and I love talking about stories. I love talking about conflict. I love talking about resolution. I love resolution about things that, like, just solve an answer to a question. There's so many things that happen, and I just want to thank anybody who ever listened to this right now. I will be back, I promise. If you're watching this on YouTube, thanks. You have any comments, which everyone knows the comment section is the way to go for critiques, please let me know, all right? I really had a blast doing this. I'm going to cut myself 5 minutes short because I want to do something at the end, but I don't want to do it now because there's no one here. Carissa didn't make it. Yeah, so, yeah, sad voice. I promise I'm going to have a whole entire lineup when I come back. I'm going to be a lot tanner because I'm going to Mexico. Mexico! If you know what that's from, leave it in the comics. Mexico! what else? So, yeah. We're going to leave it at that. I promise you, within the second I stop talking and I say goodnight and I wish everyone safety and love in the future, Carissa's going to walk right through that door. And it's going to aggravate me to no end. And I want you to know this, Carissa. It happened. Okay? So, on that note, my name is Michael Quinn. Thank you for spending your time with me. I hope the YouTube ads did not bother you as much during this. This is an hour-long thing. And I hope you found something that made you identify or be proud of this. And I have something on the next show. This is just the pilot. This is just something. I have a plan, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be great. And it's for the people watching. And it's going to be beautiful, and you're going to love it. It's interactive. Even though it's recorded, it's going to be great. All right? So, on that note...
God damn it, it's all right. I definitely want to work.
Thanks, Carissa. I love you. Actually, I was wrong. You're not going to show up 3 minutes after I'm done. But yeah, so that's about it. My name's Michael Quinn. I'm signing off. And remember, if you love it, wear it on your arm. All right? Have a good night, everybody. First one! It's in the bank!